Well, if you love the Lord, say amen. If you love His house, say amen. Good. Grab your Bible. Let's go to the book of Jonah tonight. The book of Jonah, chapter number 3. And let me say what a privilege it is to be here tonight, to be with you, and to be with Brother Steve. And I appreciate the church, appreciate the good accommodations that you gave to me this week. And I've enjoyed my time away from the house, just kind of me and the Lord spending some time in a hotel room. And when you pastor and work a job, you don't get to do that very often. And so I'm appreciative of the fact that I got to come this week. And I do love this church, and I'm thankful for everything that God's doing here, aren't you? Well, let me say that again, let you kind of get warmed up a little bit. And the more you say amen and help me, the more that I'll get out of there. It's good, and it's nice and exciting to see everything that the Lord's doing here, isn't it? Amen. It's worth having a church that's alive. I don't know about you, but I don't like nothing dead other than deer meat. Can I get a witness right there? By the way, it's West Virginia for say amen and help me, all right? But it's good to be here tonight. The book of Jonah, chapter number 3. I've wrestled with the Lord all day wanting to preach something else other than what He told me to preach. You ever wrestle with the Lord? I'm sure I'm not the only one in the room that ever says, Lord, I think I know better than You know. Amen. But sometimes we just got to do what He says and just let it fall where it falls. So the book of Jonah, chapter number 3. I want to read beginning in verse number 5. You know the story of Jonah. Jonah is the story that we heard as a little child. We heard about Jonah and Jonah's rebellion against God and how God had a job for Jonah to do. And Jonah's just like we are. Sometimes we don't want to do the things that God has called us to do, and we think that we know more about what we're supposed to do than God does. You know the story. Jonah was supposed to go to Nineveh, but instead he went to Tarshish and he paid the fare thereof, the Bible said. And truly he paid the fare of his decisions. You know the story. 3 days and 3 nights he was in the belly of the whale. And you know the story. He spits him up on the ground. And Jonah comes up out of the whale experience and whale university, if you will, and he had a new outlook on what the Lord wanted him to do. And let me just say this. This ain't in my outline, and it's not in my notes, but it do us well to learn to do what God said the first time instead of God having to tell us more often. Amen. But I'm glad that even when Jonah messed up, verse 1 said the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Let me say this, I'm glad that God's a God of second chances. And God had a job for Jonah, and that was to go preach what He said to preach. You'll notice in verse 2 that He said, preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Now, I put a little note here. I'll just let you into my mind that what Nineveh needed was not Jonah's word, but what they needed was God's word. And may I remind you in this day and hour and age that we live in, it's not the words of the preacher, but what we still need is God's word. The Bible said, verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came out of the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and with ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Let's pray. Our Father, Lord, help us for moments now, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. The text that we read tonight's a familiar text. I would suspicion that a lot of folks, Brother Steve, when they read the book of Jonah, they read his rebellion and they read his ultimate repentance in the whale's belly, and maybe they even read about the restoration of Jonah, and they get to this text and they read that Jonah obeyed God and Jonah went. But can I say this to you tonight? I am glad that Jonah obeyed God the second time that God called him. But I'm glad tonight that we can look into the Word of God and here God gives us an example of revival. We see here in Nineveh there is a revival meeting. Nineveh, if you will, is an evil place. It's a place that God was getting ready to rain down His judgment for their sins. Now, I don't have to tell you tonight, but we live in a day and we live in an hour when the greatest need of the church is not another club. The greatest need of the church is not another song. But the greatest need of our hour in the church is a God-sent revival. The need of Nineveh was revival. You know, Nineveh saw revival. But you say, preacher, why did Nineveh see revival? And can I just go ahead and say this tonight? This will be unpopular. I'll probably maybe get some hate mail, but I don't care. When you pastor in Wolf Pen, most people don't know who you are anyways. But there's a doom and gloom crowd of the day that wants to talk like revival can never happen. And you say, well, preacher, I'm not sure that it can. If God is still on the throne, then God can still do what God wants to do. And so there are three actions here that we find in this text that brought revival to Nineveh. Let me give them to you quickly and we'll go. Can I get rid of this? I mean, I done got rid of the tie, I might as well just get rid of the jacket too. I mean, ain't the reason to be hot for nothing, right? But let's notice them together. Notice number one, that the first action was the action of faith. Notice in verse 5 it said, so the people of Nineveh believed God. Now wait a minute. Am I reading that right? And here it is in the middle of wickedness and Jonah goes to preaching and notice that the first response to some good preaching as he entered in and he cried out saying, you're going to be destroyed. The Bible said Nineveh believed God. That was faith, by the way. Let me ask you something tonight. Do you believe that God can send revival to your life? I don't know about you, but I need revival from time to time. I don't know about you, but my heart sometimes gets like a little bit of South Carolina red clay mud in the middle of summer. It gets a little hot, and it gets a little hard, and it gets a little crack in it. And I need some things to kind of saturate my heart and bring some revival. But can I tell you tonight that the first response to good preaching should always be faith? You know, you ought to get used to reacting when the preacher preaches. I said a little thing I was taught when I was a kid, but it's helped me tremendously. My pastor taught me that any time I heard somebody preach, that when the invitation comes, I should get up and walk to the altar and get used to going to the altar. And he said it doesn't matter what you heard really pricked your heart, but just get used to responding to the Word of God. I know what you're saying. Well, preacher, we don't like to use the altar because then people might know that we got something wrong. Can I say every one of us got something wrong with us? Ain't none of us perfect. If we was, we wouldn't be here. Could I get a witness right there? But the Bible said, so the people of Nineveh believed God. We notice, number one, there was faith. But secondly, notice number two, there was fasting. Now, I'm going to lose a bunch of Baptists right here when we're about to go eat a food truck. Don't think I ain't thinking about it. The Bible said, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least. Let's notice a couple things about that fasting. Notice number one, in fasting they declared their brokenness. Notice what the Bible said. He said they put on sackcloth. Now, I don't know if you know much about sackcloth in the Bible, but sackcloth was a symbol or symbolic that there was some broken part in a situation. Can I just say tonight that maybe one of the reasons that we don't see revival much anymore, Brother Steve, is nobody's willing to admit before God that they ain't really got it all together and that there's some things that are broken in them, and what we need is a good old-fashioned putting on of sackcloth. We don't talk about fasting much anymore, because it doesn't fit our lifestyle. Them old mountain preachers in the hills of West Virginia, where I grew up and where I still pastor, talked about, and not only did they talk about, but they actually practiced fasting. By the way, fasting's still in the Bible, in case this is the first time you've read it in the Bible. All through the Bible, fasting was used to bring the body into subjection, but not only that, to declare to God they were broken. Notice they declared their brokenness. Secondly, notice they denied their body. They denied the flesh. Notice verse 7. The order of the king was this. He said, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. Could you imagine? Anybody, I'm not going to ask you to answer publicly, but I'm going to ask you to answer in your heart. Have you ever wanted something from God so bad that you were willing to push away from the table, push away from the modern conveniences of this life, and get along with God and just deny your body a little bit? Or are you like me? Me and Brother Steve, we work on a time schedule. When it's time to eat, we go eat. Right? I'm looking around the room and I'm in kindred spirits. I got some head shaking. I mean, when it's time to eat, I asked him last night sitting at the supper table. I said, "Now, Miss Rebecca ain't got you on no kind of crazy diet. So when you come eat with me in a couple of weeks, we can eat anything we want to, right? Don't declare a fast before you come to Wolfpen, please. If you do, you're going to be hungry and I ain't." But notice they denied their body to get themselves into subjection. To allow God to do a work in their heart. Let me ask you a question tonight. Is there anything that you desire enough that you would deny your body and show your brokenness so that God would hear and answer prayer? I mean, how bad do we want? We talk about revival. I want to see God save Groves. I want to see God save Simpsonville. I want to see God save Sissonville. God, I just want you to save everybody I come in contact with. I want our church to have revival. I want our pastor to be on fire. I want the bus ministry to be on fire. Do you want it bad enough to push away a little bit? I know that's not a popular topic. But we noticed there was faith. We noticed there was fasting. But thirdly, we noticed there was a fervency. Verse 8, the Bible said this, "But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands." Notice number one, there was a fervency in praying. Notice what it said. It said, "And cry mightily unto God." Let me ask you a question tonight. Do you want revival enough that you just pray fervently? Anybody ever just... Let's just be real. Can I be real for a minute? We don't spend near enough time praying as we do doing other things. We kind of treat prayer like, well, I'll hurry up and God, I got about 3 or 4 minutes and then I need you to hear everything I got to say in 3 or 4 minutes. And truthfully, God, I really ain't got time to shut up and let you talk. Can I get a witness right there? Don't look at me like I'm unspiritual and you're doing better than me. I'm just being real tonight. But there was a fervency in prayer. He said, "Let them cry to God mightily." I wonder how bad, Brother Steve, we want it. Would we stay up and toil the night praying to God and crying out to God like our life depended on it? They're about to go through judgment. So literally their life depended on God changing His mind. And so there was fervency to their prayer. Not only that, but secondly, notice there was fervency to their penitence. Notice what it said. He said, "Turn every one from his evil way." You ever heard of a Bible word called repentance? You know what word they don't want you to use in the 21st century pulpit? Repentance. But can I tell you that repentance is still in the Word of God and it's still there for a reason, and that is because every now and then what we need is a good old fashion, fessing up and repenting of our sins. You say, "Well, you sound like one of them mountain preachers. Thank you very much, because that's all I've ever known." And what they said was, when things ain't right with God, you better get them right in a hurry. needs to be a fervency again about our repentance. I've done this. I've done. He said if they'll turn, that's not just saying they're sorry. That's getting away from it. See, everybody wants to repent when they're sorry that they got caught. But the truth is, good biblical repentance will cause sorrow and it'll cause you to get away from it. Repentance. How much are we willing just to say, God, I don't want to stay the same way I am. But God, anything that stands between me and you and me having personal revival, God, I want to repent of it. There was fervency. You know something interesting? Brother David talked about the ashes. We know that ashes are indicative that the only way you have ashes is at one point there was presence of fire. Right? I mean, something had to burn to have ashes. You know, I'm afraid sometimes that we sit around with ashes all around us because we had a fire in our heart at one time, but the fire started to dampen down and we got too many ashes around. Here's the question tonight. How much is it worth to you to have revival? See, I beg God all day, let me preach something else. Because, but see, truthfully, I want to come in here and preach one of my good ones that would just shout and holler. And I want to climb a few pews and climb back there with Peyton and just, you know. But the burden of my real heart is to see God breathe on His people in such a way that there ain't no competition. I hope God breathes on Simpsonville and uses Bible Baptist Church to win the groves to the Lord. You know what? I hope He uses Elizabeth Baptist in Sissonville. I hope sometime we can stir up and sift through them ashes. Get a little fire stoked up in our heart again.